Over the years, many songs have been written to inspire feelings or to reflect on topics of varying degrees of importance. Those topics range from war to romance, from patriotism to peace, from the serious to the comic, and a whole raft of political and religious lyrics in between. All to soothe or to stir the emotions. Among those songs are such masterpieces as Gilly Gilly, Awesome Pepper, Katzenmiller, Borger by the Sea. Another one, Mersey Doats and Dozy Doats, which when roughly translated to English become Mares Eat Oats and Does Eat Oats. And among all this frivolous nostalgia, we also find The Chapel in the Valley, which recounts the birth, the life, the marriage, the death of one certain man, Charlie Brown. Of similar vintage comes Christopher Robin. And the lyrics to this are quite interesting and carry a measure of importance for the modern Christian family. Little boy kneels at the foot of his bed, droops on his little hands, little golden head. Hush, hush, whisper who dares, Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. Now, to me, this pictures something about the family which is sadly missing from much of the English-speaking world at this particular juncture in history. In my mind, I see a picture of a family at peace, where a little child, before he goes to sleep at night, stops to pray. In some ways, this reminds me of times of my childhood, because I was told to say my prayers before I got into bed. I have no recollection of who taught me how to pray, nor do I recall praying with anyone else present. I will simply remember reciting the words found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13 inclusive. These words, with a few additions that now seem to carry more than a tinge of Roman Catholic doctrine, passed from my lips for what appears to be an endless succession of childhood days. The reason why I'm reflecting on this and telling you all this is because it is vitally important to teach our children how to pray, because the times that are coming are going to test every one of us, including our children. And they need to know how to stay in contact with God and how to contact Him in order that they may have the strength and the courage to stay the course. Our children are a prize. They are a treasure that we must value. Teaching our children to pray is not just a chore. It should be a pleasure. And as we see our children draw steadily closer to God, it is our duty to teach our children how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, Jesus gave his disciples the following instruction. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 reads as follows. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, here we state quite categorically to whom we are praying. And in the following verses, we find the topics in order of importance about what we should be praying. Unfortunately, the instruction which is found in verse 7, just a couple of verses before, which reads as follows, But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, has been sadly misused. From the Book of Common Prayer, which is used by the Church of England, we find that this section, Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through to 13, which is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, is used multiple times for almost any occasion. So you see that the fact that Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions. They choose the very model that he gave as a repetition going time and time again at all sorts of occasions. When a child's parent prays aloud with the child, two things are being accomplished. Firstly, the child is being given an example of how one should approach God. Then the child learns what we should be talking to God about, including those points specifically covered by Christ and all these specific areas that concern us in our daily lives. There is also another extremely beneficial advantage that is gained by the child, and that is when he has to pray aloud later in life, in the company of his spouse or his child, he will not feel so self-conscious that he shies away from this daunting task. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6, we see that teaching the child at an early age does pay tremendous dividends in later life. The old adage of "give me a child until he is seven and I will give you a Catholic for life" carries more than a seed of truth in it. Teaching a child from the earliest days of his life instills conduct, manners, and a sense of morality for life. This early teaching forms the very basis of a way of life. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 reads as follows: "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You will have noticed that I referred to this daunting task. That is because I don't feel comfortable speaking as part of a group of three. One-to-one is fine. As part of a group is fine. But when it comes down to deeply personal topics being spoken about in the presence of another human being and God, I feel self-conscious. And I know that that ought not to be the case. It oughtn't to be like that. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, we find that even when a small group of two or three is gathered together praying, they are in the presence of God. And whilst this is talking about the government of the church, the principle here extends down through the government in the family. We don't need to be either on our own or part of a larger group. Two or three gathered together is a grouping spoken of here. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, you read the following: "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." The benefit is both to the child and to the parent. The parent loses any self-consciousness that he or she may feel, as a child is also taught the prime lessons of how to pray and, when the time comes, how to teach the next generation. Returning to Matthew chapter 6, we find the areas that we need to be praying about. In verse 9, how God's name must be honoured and glorified, treated with respect, honour and reverence. In verse 10, praying for God's kingdom to come on this earth, especially as we are seeing the systems that man has engineered gradually falling apart around his ears. And we also ask that God's will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11 is a request that our daily needs be met. Verse 12 teaches us that we must ask for God's forgiveness for our transgressions against him, and it reminds us that we must forgive all those who have offended us in any way, whether those offences are real or imagined, whether they are intentional or whether they are inadvertently done. We must forgive others. Verse 13 reminds us to ask for deliverance from the trials and tribulations of this age, and for the strength and the courage to withstand Satan that he should flee from us. And finally, it reminds us that God is the one who is in ultimate control, and with all the power and glory for all eternity. These are the things that we ought to be teaching our children to pray about. I wish that I'd known these things when I was 40 years younger. I think that had I really had this knowledge as a young man, I would have served my family in a much better way. Besides teaching our children how to pray in the privacy of their own homes and in their own rooms, we need to teach them that there are times when neither the spoken word nor kneeling before our Maker are really necessary. Nehemiah must have uttered a silent prayer in the Persian king's presence. I mean, the account of Nehemiah's prayer, which is found in Nehemiah chapter 2, the first few verses there, just goes to show, you know, the silent prayer must have been offered as he was standing there serving the king. So we see that we should be teaching our children how to pray in the privacy of their own homes, in the privacy of their own private space, and whenever or wherever the need arises. In closing, I would like you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Here we find the Apostle Paul gives us an instruction. Prayer isn't just once, twice, or three times a day. It is a way of life, an attitude for a successful life. If we as parents teach our children how to pray from as early a time as we are able, we will have given them the most precious gift a parent can bestow upon their children, Parents have the honour and they have the duty to teach their little ones how to pray, one-to-one, as a family and as an individual. Now I realise that I've only barely scratched the surface of this topic, but hopefully given the encouragement to teach to teach parents to teach their children how to pray, so that, as we find in the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, our children will pray without ceasing. In closing, I'd just like to go back to the words of Christopher Robin. Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed, droops on his little hands, little gold head. Hush, hush, whisper who dares, Christopher Robin is saying his prayers.